My guest at this time is Justin Danhoff. He is the director of the Free Enterprise Project at the National Center for Public Policy Research. A few days ago, he made headlines focusing on the reaction of Apple CEO Tim Cook at a shareholders meeting, when Mr. Danhoff specifically asked him about the return on investment of some environmental policies pursued by Apple, as well as another critical question. And Justin, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to talk with you this afternoon.
Well, Mr. Cook's response, of course, was that they don't do everything for return on investment, and if that's your only reason for investing in Apple stock is for the return on investment and making sure everything they do is profitable, he says you should get out of this stock. Explain real briefly why you asked the question and what your reaction was to it.
Sure. So I've been attending shareholder meetings for the last 5 or 6 years, dozens of them, and I've never had a CEO react and act the way that Tim Cook did on Friday's Apple shareholder meeting. I asked him a very basic business question that any investor or any shareholder of Apple would want to know. That question was simply this. When you engage in environmentalism, because Apple is all about its environmentalism, if you go on their website, they're putting up solar plants here, geothermal plants there, outlaying lots of money. Is there a reasonable return on investment? Are you spending more than you're saving? And Cook first answered by saying, well, I think that it makes economic sense, but even if it didn't, we would still spend to our heart's content all of your shareholder money on battling this terrible concept of CO2 emissions. And I asked him a follow-up. I said, well, look, you claim it makes economic sense. What if the federal government wasn't heavily subsidizing alternative energy so that these solar fields you're putting up in North Carolina, these geothermal plants that you're putting up all across the country, what if the government wasn't heavily subsidizing those efforts? Would you still engage in them? That's where he went off the rails. Cook refused to answer the question, and he looked directly at me and said, I don't care what you think. We're going to continue to cure blindness. You know, what is it? What does one have to do with the other? Obviously, Cook was deflecting the issue, because while the company may be engaging in a lot of environmental efforts, the answer is they're engaging so where they can make a profit off of the American taxpayer, because we're the ones, John and Jane Q taxpayers, that are subsidizing all of these solar plants, all of these geothermal plants that Apple is putting up in North Carolina and Arizona and California and elsewhere. That's the real heart of it. Apple wants to, on the outside, look as though it's being very, very environmental. But when it comes down to it, they're only doing so when they can profit off the backs of taxpayers. And if they could no longer profit off taxpayers, like I asked Mr. Cook, he wasn't going to answer the question whether they continue to do any environmental projects. Because the likely answer is no. And that's why I think Mr. Cook lost his temper, which has made headlines worldwide now, at the insane reaction he had towards a very simple business question that I put towards him.
Why do you think he had that reaction? Obviously, as you just indicated, it's because he couldn't truthfully say that, yes, it was a economically beneficial decision to pursue all these programs. But instead of giving you some form of his answer in a more measured tone, why do you think he decided to either vent at that moment or perhaps make an example out of you?
Well, I think it's because Al Gore sits on the board of Apple. The EPA director under the entire Obama administration, Lisa Jackson, is now a vice president at Apple. The company wants to tell its progressive investors who care about this chimera battle of reducing CO2 emissions that they're the leading company in the world to do so. But in reality, they're only doing so where they're ripping off taxpayers. So I caught him in this kind of dualism, this hypocrisy, and he was really stuck at that point. And his reaction went even further. In fact, he told me that if, you know, changing the issue around, that if all I cared about was return on investment, which is never what I said, that I could go ahead and get out of Apple stock, and that anyone who believed like me could do the same. So he attacked his own investors, which is really, I mean, he really came untoward. I was embarrassed for him. I was you know, I would have been embarrassed for Al Gore if Al Gore could still be embarrassed at this point, because he stood up like a 3-year-old child and loudly clapped and cheered in my face when Cook gave that reaction. But Al Gore is beyond contempt at this point, so I won't even be embarrassed for him. But basically the point is that Apple is engaging in environmentalism for sure, but they're doing so at the expense of the American taxpayer. And if it wasn't going to benefit the bottom line, there's no way they'd be engaging in their environmentalism. So all of the progressive liberal environmentalists who love their company, you may want to actually take a deeper look into what Cook's response really means. Because if Apple were sustainable, they wouldn't glue their batteries into their iPhone, so when your battery dies, you need a new iPhone. If your battery dies on any other phone, you can just get a new battery. On an iPhone, you have to chuck it away and buy a whole brand new one. What's sustainable about that? Absolutely nothing.
Justin, let's talk a little bit about what numbers we do know, if there are any out there. You mentioned that the only reason Apple's not taking a huge financial bath on this is because of the taxpayer-funded subsidies. If they didn't have that, how big of a negative balance sheet would they be having on these programs? Do we know?
Oh goodness. It's well up into hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, just type into Google Earth, made in North Carolina, that's M-A-I-D-E-N, North Carolina, and you will see one of the biggest solar geothermal plants you've ever seen in your life. And that was all built and outlaid by Apple. And let me tell you what Apple actually does with that. It's more profit-driven than you could even imagine, because, first of all, they get the subsidies to build it, right? So the taxpayers essentially built that whole project for them. Well, they produce more energy than they can even use in their data center at the moment. Eventually, their data center will use all of it. So what are they doing? They're actually selling that back to North Carolina at a profit. So the state of North Carolina has to buy energy from Apple and then gives it to the folks, or sells it to the folks, don't give it to the folks, of North Carolina at a profit for Apple. So if you think about the outlay of a data center that shows up on Google Earth, if we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, and they've already dedicated hundreds of millions more to more solar plants in Arizona. So we're talking well into the hundreds of millions, approaching billions of dollars that they're outlaying for environmental efforts that are all on the backs of taxpayers.
We're talking with Justin Danhof. He's the director of the Free Enterprise Project at the National Center for Public Policy Research. And Justin, let's get into the free enterprise aspect of this, since this is what you study on a regular basis. As you well know, there's been a huge debate in a completely unrelated debate over marriage and the definition of it and whether business owners have the rights to do different things or refuse service in certain ways. In the case of Apple, they're deciding that they're going to go in this direction. And if the customer doesn't like it or the shareholder doesn't like it, they can get out. So is that, in a way that you would certainly disagree with, still exercising a free enterprise mentality or no?
Oh, absolutely. You know, what we're about is transparency. So what we've done at the National Center over the last year and a half is we've directly asked companies the very specific question that I asked Apple's CEO, Tim Cook. Does your environmentalism work in concert with the free market? Does it cost more than it saves? And if you're saving money, that's great. You know, if you're reducing packaging, for instance, that reduces, you know, the amount you need to spend on fuel. It reduces the cost of the packaging itself. There's plenty of instances where environmentalism works in concert with the free market. And we just want to know which companies are on which side of the issue. So now, sure, folks know that Apple is happily outlaying money. And Tim Cook told me even if they made $0 on it, they'd happily continue to spend more and more money. So in that sense, they are now transparent, and the market can act accordingly. Those who believe that battling CO2 is, you know, as John Kerry would say, you know, worse than any weapon of mass destruction, sure, go ahead and now invest in Apple because you know where they stand on the issue. So at the very least, one thing we garnered out of my attendance at the shareholder meeting is this transparent information about what Apple is pursuing, what the company is all about, and transparency is a key leading indicator of the free market. So in that aspect, you are correct. We do have a free market result that folks are free to now decide whether Apple's investment is worth their time or not. If they want to invest in battling climate change, go ahead and invest in Apple.
Last question before we let you go here, Justin. When you look at the reaction from Cook and look at the reaction from Gore, you talked about some of the reasons why it was such an emotional reaction. From their perspective, as they look at the climate change debate, do you think that they're confronting dissent like this because they feel like they're going in for the final kill, or because they're running scared because some of the numbers in this debate, as far as where the public stands, are going the opposite direction?
I think they're running scared. I think that if you look at public opinion polls, when you go into specifically elections, and folks, you know, 12 years ago, 16 years ago, even 8 years ago, you ask them what their top five concerns were, climate change was always in the top five. Now you're lucky if you find a poll where climate change is in the top 15. For most folks, it's somewhere around 18, 19, or 20. So the fact that the data is out. For 17 years, we've been told the world is going to warm, and for 17 years, they've cried wolf, and we have a world that's staying flat, if not cooling. I think that those who are really devotees of the climate change line are starting to run scared. They're starting to become more emotional and less rational because the science is no longer backing up their wild claims.
Justin, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Justin Danhoff is the director of the Free Enterprise Project at the National Center for Public Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.